John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus is speaking to a group of people. And he tells them something that we've heard him say in many different ways throughout Scripture. And he really puts a point on it here. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I read that scripture this week, and as I read it, the image popped into my head of this past weekend. This past weekend, I took the kids and the family camping, and we went out. We got to the campsite very late. Now, it was already dark, and the parking spot for the campsite was not by the campsite. It was a good ways from the campsite. And we knew it was going to be something like that, but we didn't exactly have it all. We didn't see it ahead of time. We didn't know what it was going to look like in our minds. And we were prepared. We had all of our gear. We had all our stuff, and everybody had flashlights. Problem was, the kids had these little lanterns that are supposed to be really bright. What I didn't realize is that the batteries had been slowly dimming in them over the last year or 2 years, and they opened them up and it just gave a little bit of light. Now, I had a really bright headlamp that I made sure I put new batteries in before I left. I didn't think about doing that for the kids, but I put new batteries in mine. And so we're walking back and forth along this path, and the path is, it's not exactly ready for walking. It's very rugged. There are a lot of, there's a lot of dips, there's a lot of rocks, there's trees in the way, there are lots of roots growing up out of the ground, and again, it's completely dark. So I'm walking with the flashlight, and I've got the headlamp, and so I'm in the front part of this little caravan that we're making through here. And the kids are super excited. And so they start running out and they're going ahead and they're running ahead of the light and they can see where my light is and they keep running right in front of it. And the problem is, once they get in front of the light, they sort of make their own shadow. And now they can't see where their feet are going. They can see the light, but they can't see where they're headed. And if I have to turn my head for any reason, now they're completely in darkness. I was reading this scripture. Jesus says, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And I wonder how often we try to run out ahead of Jesus. Maybe it's in our enthusiasm. It's in our excitement. Maybe our anticipation, like it was for the kids. They just wanted to get there and get started doing this. They were so excited. How often do we get into that place where we get so excited? Now see, Jesus wants us to be excited. He loves that. He wants us to be excited about what's coming, about what he has in store for us. Jesus loves that childlike faith. He loves that joy. But Jesus also wants to lead. And in order for Jesus to lead, it means we have to be willing to follow. From his first days of ministry to his last moments on earth, one of Jesus' clear messages that he maintained was, "Follow me." It's one of the first things he spoke to the disciples. It's one of the last things he said when he was on the earth. "You follow me." This is the message. We're getting ready to celebrate next week our 8th year here in the church. I know with my students, when I'm teaching, I hope that no matter where they are, whether they're a beginner student, where they're a middle student, they've been working for a while, or whether they're an advanced student that has been with me for 10 plus years, I want all of my students to have caught a little about what I think is important for their lessons, for their growth. And it's the same way with the church. One of the things that I think we can't miss, one of the most important messages that we get from Scripture is follow Jesus. Over and over and over again, it directs the Gospels. Follow Jesus. It's what leads the disciples to go. It's what challenges people to not. Follow Jesus are the markers that define Jesus' ministry. They're the markers that define our lives. How we are able to follow Jesus determines the trajectory that our life will take and determines the amount that God will be able to use us to the degree that we are able to follow. No matter what level Jesus calls you to, no matter what position you're put in, or how humbling a place God has you, follow Jesus. I mean, wasn't this what astounded Jesus when he encountered the Roman centurion? Do you remember that story? The centurion, and I'll read a little of it to you, has a sick servant, and a Roman centurion, this means he was a person of importance. We know this not only because of the fact that he's a centurion, but because he has a house filled with servants. It says there's a centurion who had a servant who was sick to the point of death. The centurion heard about Jesus. He sent elders to elders of the Jews, asking them to come and heal his servant. The elders came to Jesus and they pleaded with him, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him because he loves our nation and he's one who built us our synagogue." Jesus went with them. He wasn't far from the house, and centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I didn't presume to come to you. But say the word, let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes; another, come, and he comes; to that servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. See, he was astounded, marveled, amazed, in disbelief. And he turns to the crowds and he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." Why does Jesus say this? Well, this centurion had attained a very high level. All of that discussion, he says, he talks about being an authority over these people. He's risen to a level where he tells people, "Go and do this," and they go do it. Where he says, "I need you to go do this," and they come. But there is no level he recognizes that he can attain where he will not still be under authority. No matter how much power or authority he's given, no matter how much he's elevated, he will never be in a position where he is not still under the authority, in this case, of the Roman government. He was leading others, yet he was still following. I think that's the essence. That's at the heart of what Jesus is saying in John 8. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." See what I think Jesus is saying, and if we unpack it a bit, I mean, he clearly starts off by saying he is the light. There's no other source. He is the light. And he says that we are to follow. Why? Well, just like that story with the kids and the flashlight. You have to stay close. If you run too far ahead and get in front of the light, you almost make your own darkness. You make your own shadow. You obscure your own path. And it's not that you're all of a sudden will fall off into a pit. It's that you don't know what's coming. The one with the light knows what's coming. My light that I had, as bright as it was, that headlamp that I had, and those can be intensely bright, had one failing thing to it, though. No matter how bright it was, it only shines in one direction at a time. The light that Jesus shines is a light that illuminates that whole area so that it's easy to follow, so that it's easy to see where he is. He calls people, he says, come to me. There has to be a light that they can see. And here's what happens. When we begin to follow Jesus, when we begin to faithfully follow after him, staying right behind him, following in his path, watching where he's going and moving where he's moving, something amazing happens. We get the light. Isn't that what he says? Whoever follows me but will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That isn't the only time that Jesus says that. In fact, if we want to be really specific to put the point on it, in Matthew 5:14, Jesus, talking again to the disciples, says, you are the light of the world. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus just say that I'm the light of the world? He did. And then he says, you're the light of the world. Are these contradictory? Do they cancel each other out? Can there be two lights of the world? Can there be multiple lights of the world? He says, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and then put it under a basket. They put it on a stand to where it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Is there more than one light of the world? No. It's Jesus. But when we begin to faithfully follow Jesus, what does he say? If anyone calls and I call and they answer, I'll come and make my home in him. There's only one light. But it lives in the heart of each one of us that's faithfully following after Jesus. When we follow him, we get the light. Why? So that we can lead others. So that we can shine that light before others, so that they can see the good works and give glory to the Father who's in heaven. So they can illuminate our good works and give us glory? No. So that we can say, look how bright my light is. Aren't you impressed? No. But so that others can see it and give glory to God. Last week, Nancy preached a sermon and talked a little bit about our booth that we had at Lilburn Days where everybody gets to play. It's a Vineyard value. Everybody gets to play. I mean, look at the way that Jesus phrases this statement when he's talking to the disciples. He says, whoever follows me, whoever, anyone, and everyone. See, This is something that is universal for all people who want to faithfully follow Jesus, is that we get the light so that we can lead others out of darkness. Sometimes we get that light and we get excited and we really want to do stuff and we just run ahead of Jesus and we get really excited with it. All of a sudden we realize that we have the light, but we're not leading people the way that we want to. And other times you may feel like you get the light and it's just too much. So I can't have, that's too much responsibility for me to be in charge of that light. I remember when our kids were little, I wouldn't give them, well, I'd give them flashlights, but they weren't in charge of the lights because they would just shine in random places and all over. Sometimes we get the light and it just feels like too much and you start to fall back. See, the brightness, the effectiveness of the light that's in us is in direct correlation to our proximity to Jesus. Let me say it another way. The closer we are to Jesus, the brighter our light will be. See, our light is Jesus. The light that's in us is not independently fueled. Jesus is the source of that light. The further away we get from Him, the dimmer that light gets, the harder it is for people to see us and follow. People don't always see Jesus' light. You know, I was thinking about that. I'm going to try not to digress too far, but I was thinking about that this week as I was thinking about our light and Jesus' light, and I think Jesus' light's got to be so much brighter than our light. It's so bright. Why do we need to have the light if Jesus has got this light? And I realized that people have a blind spot to Jesus. People that have never been introduced to Christ, people that don't know or have been hurt by church or Christians or faith and don't realize, they have a blind spot to Jesus' light. And so they see, they may know who Jesus is, they may see Jesus, but they don't see the light that leads them. They see you. They may have a blind spot to Jesus, but they don't have a blind spot to you. And then our job is to lead them to Him. They see our light. We give glory to the Father in heaven. You see, that was Jesus' plan all along, wasn't it? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll teach you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Follow me. I'll teach you how to do what I do. When He sent out the 72, when He sent out the 12, and He sends them out among the people to do what? Exactly what He did. Go out and say the kingdom of God is among you. This is Jesus. I digress. Everywhere Jesus went, people followed Him. Everywhere He went. From the moment He started His public ministry, it was hard for Jesus to get away. He was always being followed. In Matthew, just before He tells the disciples about the "you are the light of the world," it talks about His beginning of his ministry here. In chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 23, He says, he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the people's synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame began to spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Great crowds followed him. They're always following Jesus. But just because they followed him didn't mean they were his followers. And I think this is a really, really important point to remember. If you look in the book of John, just before Jesus talks about being the light of the world, we have a famous encounter with Jesus and a large group of his disciples. You see, Jesus had just gotten through feeding the 5,000. He had just gotten through doing that, and then last time I preached, we talked about him walking on water to the disciples as they crossed to the other side of the lake. Well, we pick up from there, and the next day, they're at the other side of the lake, and guess what? The people came looking for him. They came to seek him out. They followed him all the way across the lake. And Jesus begins to teach them about the bread of God that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they call out, they say, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus says, "I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me won't hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." And he begins to tell them all about his Father and who he is. And he goes on and he says, "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." It's one of those moments where you can probably watch the disciples closely and you can see them going, "Oh, Jesus, don't. Oh, it's just one step too far, Jesus. This, you were good. You had it. And then you one step too far." But Jesus, it says, they begin to dispute among themselves. And Jesus, he doubles down here and says, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." It says, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And they were offended. It says that after this, many of his disciples turned back, no longer walked with him. These were his disciples. Maybe not the inner circle of the 12, but these were his pupils, the people that he was teaching. The Bible's very clear in distinguishing the difference in the New Testament between followers and disciples. Followers are people who were walking after. Disciples were people who were being trained to do what Jesus did, who were listening, growing, learning, building their lives after him. And after he says this, many of them turned around and didn't follow him anymore. Just because they followed didn't mean they were his followers. Why did they turn around? Maybe it's for this reason: they don't like the wording. Maybe it's the imagery. Maybe they're just starting to realize something that I think we've all run into at some point or another in our life, which is that following Jesus is hard. Following Jesus isn't easy. Jesus was really clear about that. He didn't want anybody to have a misconception. over and over again, he makes sure people understand what they're getting into. He didn't want anybody to be deceived to think, I'll follow Jesus and I'll just keep living my life the same way I've always lived it. There'll be no difference between me before Jesus and me after Jesus, but I'm following Jesus. He was really clear. That's not how it works. In Matthew, again in chapter 7 this time, he tells them how they have to live, where they're supposed to go, how they're supposed to move, the path that he's leading them on. He says, I want you to enter by the narrow gate. For the path is wide and easy that leads to destruction. And many will enter that way. But the gate is narrow and the way there is hard, but leads to life. Those who find it are few. Do you notice easy meant death? Hard, life. But more than that, I want you to notice he says, the gate is wide and the way is easy, wide and easy that leads to destruction. Do you know why the gate's wide or the path is wide and easy? You don't need a light to walk on a path like that. That path that we walked on when we were camping, if I didn't have a light, I would have fallen off. It was a pretty steep drop off on one side and tons of stuff to trip over on the other side. It was a dangerous, narrow mountain path, way more rugged than I was expecting. You needed a light. Without that light, you couldn't possibly follow along that path. It was a hard path. If you want to go the wide and the easy way, you don't need a light. You can just walk along. You'll be fine. And I think what happens is we get on this narrow path, this rough terrain that's way more than we were expecting it was going to be sometimes. It has way more bumps, way more stuff in the way than what we were expecting. We get on that path, and it seems easy as we get started. Doesn't it always seem that way? That's how it did that day. I probably made 10 trips back and forth up that path. I was a very different person the 10th trip than I was the first trip. First trip, I was ready to go. 10th trip, I was just like, come on, kids, push the cart. I'll come with you. I'll be right there with you. It's easy in the beginning, I think. As you go on, it just seems to get harder. We all go through cycles. We have ups and downs where it seems easy and it's hard and it's easy. But it does seem harder to stay with it over time, doesn't it? I've been doing these exercises for my shoulder, for my physical therapy. And I know the doctor gives me the exercises to do, and I start doing the exercises, and that first day I'm on it. I'm excited. I do my exercises faithfully. And the next day she's got a checklist on the phone, which I love. I check the buttons and say I did it. The next day I do it, and I'm still good. And I do it for a few days, and then some weeks go by, and I go, well, I just miss a day. It'll be okay. That's all right. The next day, I go, well, I'm really busy. I'll do it tonight when I get back home, and I'll try. And then I realize, oh, man, we're going to be out of town. I'm going to miss a couple of days of this because I can't do it without my equipment. I'll just kind of lop it. And you know what happens? You choose your own thing that you've committed to, but over time, don't you find that you're way more lenient with yourself? Over time, don't you find it's way more difficult to stick with that and maintain it as faithfully as you did the day you started? It's very hard to do. And Jesus doesn't want us to be deceived. He doesn't want us to miss it. He wants us to understand that following him is not going to be easy. In fact, he tells the people in Luke that if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me. I think how we have to approach following Jesus is not a start and an end path way down the road that we just hope we're maintaining along the way, but a daily check-in, a daily recognizing, a daily practice that we get into. Following Jesus is an exercise. I don't want to call it a routine and make that sound trite, but it is a routine that's meant to daily challenge us, daily renew us, daily shape us. Over the next several weeks, I want to go through some of the different moments that Jesus talks about following him and the challenges and the excitement and all the things that surround those, so that we can dive deeper into what I think is one of the most important messages that Jesus had to say. Follow me. Following Jesus, it's an exercise in patience, in trust, in humility, endurance. It's an exercise in focus, in familiarity, and it's a commitment. And it's a decision. Follow me. The words that shape Jesus' ministry, that shape the gospel, are meant to shape our lives too, as we see his light, follow, and ourselves begin to grow in that light so that we can lead others.